Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today for Thursday, October 14th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, featuring true hands-free calling, turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, and more. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Dr. Kiki.
I'm Jason Al.
I'm Aya Zakhtar.
And this is the show where we kick around the tech news of the day. And if I don't write out the intro, we don't know what order to go in. My fault. No, I totally take responsibility. I boofed it. I didn't put it down. But no, this is a good tech news day today. Although we should acknowledge Jason's plan hurt.
Yes, I'm playing injured. My normal screenshot computer is not syncing with a TriCaster, so my apologies if you miss one or two.
But that's the kind of guy
screens.
He is, man. He's still in the game.
Still in the game. Keep going.
I'll be
keep
limping
playing.
A little bit, but yeah. You know,
I like it.
I'll
work it
try
out.
And keep
work it out.
Together.
Come
thank
on.
You.
Play Hold through it.
Play
Let's
through
go.
It. Rub
I
some dirt on it.
My curse is still pretty strong
Team.
Right there.
Yeah. Ayaz has full power today.
Full power.
Yeah.
And a beer, so that's good.
We're looking good. AOL apparently thinking about trying to buy the Yahoo. Now, this is kind of a complicated story. Wall Street Journal reports that AOL is talking to several venture capital firms about buying Yahoo. They're not talking to Yahoo.
Right.
Although apparently other reports say Yahoo investors are talking to AOL about a possible acquisition. They're apparently also talking to News Corp about an acquisition. And Yahoo themselves, Bloomberg reports, is said to have hired Goldman Sachs to fend off any hostile acquisitions. So it's like they're staring across neutral ground. Are you going to buy me? I don't know if I want you to buy me. Do you want to buy me? But forgetting whether it's actually going to happen or not, for the moment, do we think it makes sense? It's a good idea?
I know. It's a pretty big purchase for AOL. AOL is really trying to position themselves as a content giant. Getting more stuff out to the public, and they already work with Yahoo for the search functionality of Yahoo, but to go beyond that and actually get Yahoo content would be a big step in the direction that they're trying to go. So on one hand, yes, could be a good idea, would be a big acquisition. So it could be something too big to bite off, though.
Ayaz, what do you think? Yahoo-el?
I think it could be pretty interesting. If AOL bought Yahoo, Yahoo would actually have some direction. But the question is AOL the right company to do that? I mean, they have a bunch of content out there. They still have AIM, which I think almost everyone still uses. And then there's Yahoo Messenger. You put that together there, you can do some pretty cool cross-platform. It won't be cross-platform anymore, I guess. You'd have all these chat standards, well, standardized. So that'd be kind of neat. But I don't know if AOL is ready to lead Yahoo the right way.
Tim Armstrong, former Google guy, is the new CEO of AOL, and he's apparently doing the sales job. He's the one going around saying, yeah, AOL and Yahoo, come on, man, this is great.
Come on.
All Things D points out, though, that AOL can't really buy Yahoo. AOL's value is $2.65 billion. Yahoo's value is $21.5 billion. So this is another example of AOL. If you remember, they bought Time Warner. That didn't end up so well.
Not so good.
Another example of AOL whose eyes are bigger than their stomach. But I do think this could be the best thing for AOL and probably for Yahoo if there were some sort of merger, maybe leveraged by private equity, which is what it sounds like Armstrong wants to do. Because AOL is doing what Yahoo wants to do. They're creating a portal. They're acquiring good content like Engadget and TechCrunch and all these brands. And they just need the user base Yahoo has. Mm-hmm. I think what you do, you merge it, you get rid of the AOL brand, except maybe what's left of the ISP, which is spun off, and you call it Yahoo, but you have Yahoo with Engadget and TechCrunch and all of the other AOL content properties, and there's some really good ones that people don't even think about, that don't know about even.
Yeah. What do you think about hyphenating the name?
I think you just
very modern.
Very modern, right?
I think you just replace the A with an AOL, so you have Yowl-hoo.
That could work. It could
I love
work.
My Yahoo mail. Plus, we get IM peace between AIM and YIM. You never call it YIM?
No, sorry. No.
Yahoo Instant Messenger. And AOL, that would all become one. Maybe that would push for a standard.
IM.
Not the best article. But I think that I don't know. See how they can make it work and convince everyone. But I think it would work. I think it would be a good merger. In fact, when Google was talking about partnering with Yahoo, when Microsoft was looking at buying Yahoo, I kept thinking the match for Yahoo is actually AOL. Hmm. And I still think that's the case.
So maybe you should be a matchmaker.
Make me a match.
Right.
But all this is still rumors, though, right? Like, there's nothing official.
Nothing
Everyone
official.
Is said to be doing something. No. And the other thing is nobody officially has been contacted on the Yahoo side because of potential actual merger rules. I mean, you technically can't ask people certain things right away. So it's basically everyone's playing footsie right now.
Yeah. Well, except Yahoo and AOL
have
not been in the same room. Even in the rumors, they're not even talking.
I guess they're sending texts? Like,
no, they're not they're talking. Not. No, it's like... it's like talking to the friend about, like, hey, can you fix me up with
so
Yahoo?
Soon the
can you tell Yahoo I really like Yahoo?
Next story will be Yahoo sending a little piece of paper. Do you like me? Yes or
exactly.
No?
Yeah, exactly. These are notes passed across a schoolyard, and Yahoo doesn't even know that these notes are being passed. Or maybe they do now.
Well, no, they're hiring a bully. They're hiring their friend Goldman Sachs.
That's right.
Keep him away from me. New U.S. PC market share numbers are out from both Gartner and IDC, and it looks like good news for Toshiba and Apple. Apple grew their market share above 10% for the first time in a long time, went from 9 to 10.5. Toshiba rose from 8.1 to 8.8. Everybody else lost market share, at least among the leaders. Well, HP is pretty much flat. They went from 25 to 24.8, so we can call that even. Dell dropped 5.4% from 25.5 to 23.4. However, on the worldwide PC market, you pretty much see the same things that you've seen. HP went down 0.4%. Acer went up 2.5%. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Yeah. HP went down. Acer went down. Dell was flat. Lenovo was the big gainer on the worldwide scene. Went from 8.5 to 10.3. So, you know, these numbers are always interesting. The worldwide numbers not so much different than they have been. But I think the big news here is Apple continually gaining. They've gone from being like an almost negligible percentage of the market to something that is, they're now the number three, solidly the number three PC maker in the country, which, you know, you start to have to take them seriously as a PC maker and stop thinking of them so much as a boutique.
Yeah, but the question is, are these sales numbers, are they the result of the iPad this year, or are they really PC numbers? Do we count the
This is just PC. There might be a little halo effect, though.
Right.
Where people buy an iPad and then start checking out the MacBooks.
I really like the MacBook over here, and I have another $3,000 to spend.
Yeah, because I do. Apple, definitely not the bargain.
Yeah, well, Apple, I do think Apple has really been working hard over the years to carve its niche out, and it has, you know, marketing that's amazing, and it really has a pretty user-friendly product, so I'm not surprised that they're doing, you know, continually better.
What's surprising is that Apple, which is much expensive.
You can make
arguments for whether it's really that much more expensive given what you get, but it's expensive. Let's just leave it there.
Yeah.
And in a recessionary time, they gained the market share. You wouldn't expect that. The rich
and that halo effect is quite real.
Go ahead.
Consider this. I mean, Apple pretty much controls who gets the iPad right away. And, of course, they got it first. So if you want to go and see the latest and greatest Apple device, the iPod Touch or the iPhone, you might just wander into their store and happen to look over that other table that nobody's at with all the computers. Because I know when you walk in there, they put the iPads up front when they were all hot. Everybody was going over there. It looked like a party. So, I mean, you eventually wander off to all these other computers. And it's very, very easy to get sucked into that little world when you go step into an Apple store.
And let's not forget Toshiba. They gained their market share up a little bit too with the Portage, and they've got some stylish laptops. So something going on there that was not going on at some of these other PC makers as well, at least in the United States.
Yeah, so. I think looking at the numbers though, none of the numbers are huge. It's not like a giant drastic leap forward anywhere. So, you know, it's great to see these changes taking place, but at the same time, it's such a small percentage, really. Yeah.
Inches and inches.
Yeah.
Yes. So you thought your privacy was over before. It's even more over now.
Yes.
Electronic Frontier Foundation filed a Freedom of Information request that revealed government memos encouraging government agents to befriend people on a variety of social networks to take advantage of their readiness to share and, of course, to spy on them. The government released a handful of documents, including a May 2008 memo detailing how social networking sites are exploited by the Office of Fraud Detection and the National Security. Office of Fraud Detection and National Security, and one revealing how the Department of Homeland Security was monitoring social media during the Obama inauguration. I think this might be being blown a little out of proportion. It's a good thing for your intelligence agency to survey all available forms of information. I think that's good. I think what's put people on edge is this idea that there's spies out there trying to friend me and pull information out of me.
That's right. The spies are trying to figure out exactly what information you have.
The
Tom.
Spy who friended me.
It's the next, you know, after school special. I agree with you. I think that there may be spies that are trying to befriend particular individuals who are questionable, or to make gain entrance into particular groups of people that they are looking at for national security reasons. I think the average person doesn't have anything to worry about, aside from maybe the Office of Fraud. So if you're out there talking about on Twitter or Facebook how you're defrauding the government,
it might not be so smart. It could be people who are perpetrating frauds on Facebook. And so you go on to the social network.
And it could be good. They could be
helping.
It's
like a sting operation.
Yeah.
Where you try to get them to try to defraud you over Facebook, and then you bust them.
Yes.
Although you don't know who they are.
Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily say that this is, you know, bad right off the bat and jump down the government's throat for doing this. They're not going to come out and just say, hey, we're doing this. So the EFF was probably right to ask for documents and to see if there were documents of this nature. It's great. We know now. Maybe we don't know the full extent of it. I don't know. It's always good to be a little skeptical of everything.
They were talking about in the scope of President Obama's inauguration as well, because obviously that was a pretty hot issue. I mean, the first African-American being inaugurated. There could be all kinds of craziness going on around that. I mean, it really was a security threat. So to not be looking at something like Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, it would be just kind of, well, idiotic. They had to look at this stuff. And if they're spying on everybody right now, I mean, like, is that something you're surprised about? And is anybody really surprised about that if you write something publicly? No. I mean, if they were breaking into people's accounts and they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, Facebook was fully cooperating and giving us all your user information, like, that would be more scary. But them actually looking at what you wrote publicly...
You can protect yourself from this really easily. Don't friend anybody that you don't know. Unless you're afraid that your friends are spies, in which case you got a whole other problem.
Right. And then on places like Twitter that are very public for the distribution of anything, any information that you put out there, just don't say things that are questionable. It's just always if you wouldn't say it in public and you wouldn't say it with an earshot of, you know, anybody who could hear, don't be putting it out
Well,
there.
Don't... I mean, you're right. You don't have to conform to society, but don't say anything that you wouldn't say in public. I think that's always...
Yeah, Facebook is like the headline test. Don't say anything you wouldn't put on the front page of the headline or your gravestone. Just don't do it.
Exactly. We should all listen to our grandmothers, too. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all.
Not my grandma.
She's kind of mean. She said a lot of nice things.
That was my grandpa. Calls to define the rules of cyber war have come from Michael Chertoff, former head of U.S. Department of Homeland Security, at an RSA security conference in London. He said the lack of direction was giving the initiative to criminals and hampering coordinated responses. So what does this mean, Ayaz? So we're going to try to have some like medieval era, like we will conduct our cyber war from sunup till sundown on this field tomorrow.
That sounds exactly right. It's actually more like the Geneva Convention kind of ideals of having, or ideas that is, of having standards for when a country can retaliate to at another country for infecting one of their systems. One of the examples I think they gave was if somebody in country A went ahead and took down airplanes via their like FAA, like help me out here, department, then the country B can actually retaliate against country A, regardless of whether country A had anything to do with it and their government powers. So the idea would be, once these standards are out there. The domestic laws could actually make sense. They can conform to those. So then we'll be policing our own stuff to meet that standard. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I agree that there should be some kind of standard, because it really is at this point the Wild West of how does a government deal with...
It's war.
It is war, but at the same time, it's a different kind of war. And in this case, we have, you know, if it's an individual from a country that perpetrated some kind of attack, is it, you know, an individual who acted alone? Is it an individual who acted on behalf of the government of that country? Is it an individual who acted in concert with a group of other people that are not affiliated with the government, but with, you know, a religious or other political cause? You know, so you have to, there have to be rules set out for those kinds of infractions.
I get what you're saying, because my first reaction to this was like, well, it's cyber criminals are not going to play by rules. Hackers are not going to play by rules. Forget it. This is ridiculous. But I think what they're after is to say, we want to have a set response for governments.
Yes.
Because they do have that in physical war, right?
Yep.
So that they know what to expect from each other, so that everyone can focus on the partisans and the terrorists and in this case, the hackers, who won't play by the rules, but at least they know, well, I don't have to worry about Russia doing X because Russia has agreed to abide by these rules of cyber war. So it takes a few variables out of the equation, as long as everybody plays by those rules, which Geneva Convention, most people do. It's questionable whether in cyberspace, where, you know, we have a long history of trolls and people who love the anonymity, if Russia says, yeah, we'll totally play by, I'm just picking on Russia, but any country says, oh, we'll play by those rules, wink, wink, plausible deniability, it's much easier to run some black ops on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if Russia goes ahead and does that, so let's go off on the one-off ball who's not even sponsored by the government, and he's trying to take down a whole system in another country. Well, like countries like Russia or whatever, they just can't turn a blind eye anymore, because they're going to be attacked by the full force of the other country. So that's why they would probably be more willing to internally police what's going on. So instead of just going, oh yeah, this is happening, but we have nothing to do with it, they'll say, okay, wait, if we don't do anything about this, we can be attacked by anybody for anything.
Yeah, but you can always deny it. You could always say, well, it wasn't us. We didn't launch the DDoS. It was these other guys.
That's what these standards are supposed to create, that they can attack the government based on this. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's a much trickier idea. Yeah. Mozilla has named Gary Kovacs their new CEO. John Lilly announced earlier this year he was stepping down. So on November 8th, Gary Kovacs takes over. He comes from Sybase, where he was working. And he was once general manager and vice president of mobile devices at Adobe Systems. So he also worked for IBM for 10 years in global software. He's a software guy, and they've been searching for a CEO for quite some time. So it's an important point. I don't know much about Kovacs, though. Do you?
Anybody?
Crickets.
No. What I know about Kovacs is at least somebody new might give, you know, a shot of like a kickstart to Mozilla. They've been kind of floundering for a bit. I mean, Firefox has lost a lot of market share to Chrome, even Safari, if you think about it. And maybe some of the other Mozilla products that are out there, like Thunderbird, maybe they'll get better too. Because now, again, anytime you put somebody up, you know, new at the top, they want to start making changes. And hopefully Mozilla, Firefox, and that kind of stuff will get better.
Yeah, and they've been without a CEO for several months. So, I mean, any CEO is better than no CEO, probably. But
do you like glasses 3D or glasses free 3D better, Kiki?
Glasses free 3D.
Exactly. 3D's nobody wants gimmicky. To have to wear the glasses. Sadly, no. Though, Samsung says we're not going to see affordable glasses free 3D TVs for 5 to 10 years.
Forget no.
BK Yoon, Samsung Electronics visual display president, said at a forum that we're going to, at least for 3D TVs, we're going to have to do with the glasses for a while, because it's affordable to make them for a Nintendo 3DS size device. It's just not going to be affordable for 5 to 10 years to make them on the TV. But we will get them.
Yeah, we will get them, and it should. And this same article as well talks about Toshiba Corporation actually having unveiled a 3D liquid crystal display glasses free.
They just showed that it's possible, but they didn't say how much it would cost.
They didn't say how much it would cost, exactly. So the technology is there for it to be possible, but not possible for you to afford unless you're, you know, you own Facebook or something.
Yeah. And you can commission it. Plus, it's exactly. lenticular, right? IAS, I mean, that's not even the perfect glasses-free TV.
It's like all those old baseball cards that you had motion with, so it's not exactly a fantastic experience. I just think this guy's being negative. Like, I mean, come on. You're like, for 5 or 10 years, you're just going to rest on your laurels and nothing's going to happen. It's like, go out there and try to make it happen. Don't just say, oh, you know what? Can't do it. Sorry. Can't be done.
Just walk away. No, I think it's trying to set the market expectation with Toshiba out there touting it. Samsung saying, look, just because we're not showing off some prototype doesn't mean we're out of the game. Nobody's going to be making this affordably.
It's a CYA kind of thing.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. FCC has proposed new rules that would alert smartphone users when their mobile phone usage is about to go into overdrive. Rebecca Herselge put it at today's Open Commission meeting that the proposal would require mobile service providers to, quote, provide automatic notifications such as voice or text alerts when subscribers are approaching or reaching a monthly allotment limit of voice, text, or data usage that would result in overage charges. And second, carriers would have to provide automatic notifications when consumers are about to incur international or other roaming charges. So if you're going over your data limit or your voice limit or anything else, or you're about to roam and rack up those roaming charges, they got to let you know first.
Which I think is pretty good. There are companies who do that already. With Verizon, I get a little text message if I'm close to my limit.
Get that on my Verizon MiFi.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, because there's no text message.
For the MiFi. No. They could send you an email. No. I don't know. But not all companies are going to want to do this on their own. So maybe having some kind of a regulation that does help the consumer is necessary.
No, this is just protecting the stupid. I mean, come on. when you get that deal for that contract, the 2-year thing, it comes with this little pamphlet that's got the tiny, tiny writing. Are you telling me people aren't reading that stuff? Clearly they're reading it. They know that there's overage charges, right? Because every time you get a bill, you have those same terms and conditions. So to get a message and say, oh yeah, by the way, you're going over. I mean, like, do you need a pop-up warning every time something happens in life? Because, I mean, I'd love to have that. Like, a deer is showing up now, like when I'm driving. But, like, that doesn't happen.
Well, yeah, you know, but I think it's different. I disagree with you there because I would like to have a notification when I'm getting close. I have a general idea that I've been using a lot of data. I better check in and look, which I can do. I can go and I can look online and find out. But that's a really annoying thing. It would be much nicer to have some sort of instant notification that says, hey, you're getting close, you know, so that I don't have to check. I'm not sure I agree that we need the government to step in and do that. I would like the carriers to do that.
And if you can actually, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, like I said, if the carriers do it on their own, it just makes one carrier possibly a better carrier for you than another carrier. It's one more thing that they do that makes them a nice carrier.
Differentiate them.
Let the market correct itself that way. Like maybe these web interfaces, maybe you could set up a notification for yourself. But I mean, you don't need everybody else stepping in to tell you this is what needs to be done. Again, like Kiki was saying, seriously, this should be something that these companies are putting out there touting as consumer-friendly things. There's a crazy idea. You can imagine a telco actually being useful. That's why they need a law.
T-Mobile's got an interesting way of doing it. They're putting in a 5 gigabyte cap on their data plans. For 3G data plans, but they're not going to charge you overage fees. If you go over the 5 gigabytes, they just throttle you.
Which I think is kind of nice.
It's kind of a way of notifying you.
It is a way of notifying.
Oh, everything's really slow. I guess I hit my limit.
Or my teenage daughter or son hit the limit for me using my phone. I'm sure there are so many people across the country who have issues with their children going over their overages for them.
There's so many that have issues with their children. Not just overages.
That's right.
Let's take a quick break, though, because I want to thank our sponsor, Ford, who is bringing you tech news today, and their Ford Activated Sync. You must have heard Leo Laporte talk about this. He's got it in his Mustang. I've gone for a few rides with him, and it is pretty impressive, I have to say. When I'm driving and I'm not in a Ford, I can't take phone calls. It's dangerous. Even hands-free, I just don't like to do it, you know, because I got a Bluetooth thing stuck in my ear or something like that. If I want to play music or podcasts and the music ends or the podcast ends and I have to go to the next one, it's real trouble to look down. So Sync is a way to solve all that. It's actually true hands-free calling. You got nothing in your ear, nothing to touch. You do everything with your voice with voice-activated Sync. 911 Assist, for instance, for emergency situations, but also change to the next track, pull up my playlist, Call Kiki. Let her know I'm on my way. I'm running a little late. Whatever you need to do, you can do by voice. And if you're ever in an accident and your airbag deploys, Sync automatically calls 911 for you. So music and podcast search, personalized traffic alerts, that comes in handy when you're driving around in a big city. Sync will even reroute you with turn-by-turn directions and read your text messages to you. To learn more about Sync, go to SyncMyRidePodcast.com. It's standard on some Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury models, and optional in others. So go check it out, SyncMyRidePodcast.com. Let's move on to the news feeds. We're number one again! USA! Yahoo! USA!
In what?
In spam.
Oh, yes. Nice.
According to a new report out today from security firm Sophos, the United States is now the top source of spam, accounting for almost 19% of all junk email sent throughout the world. That's a patriotic jump from our also world-beating 15.2% share in the second quarter. U.S. generates almost 2.5 times as much spam as second place India. Take that, India.
Wow.
Maybe it's got something to do with the botnets. We're Skype just introduced Skype 5.0 for Windows officially, which now includes your Facebook contacts. So now you can call your friends via Skype, but they have to have a Skype account. So no Skype to Facebook chats just yet, but at least the stuff's a little bit more organized.
Sony's PS3 will be upgraded next week, so access to Netflix will no longer require you to insert a disc into your PS3 to stream video.
It's about time.
Yeah.
Yay.
But wait, there's more.
What else do I get?
You also get, so in Sony's version of Netflix, it will have 1080i video. Everyone else is tops out at 720p, and Sony gets 5.1 audio. The upgrade is expected to go live on October 18th.
To be young and French. French citizens will soon have the opportunity to purchase a card, the Carte Musique, to download music from subscription-based services. They pay half the cost of a 50-euro credit on the card. The government pays the other half, and they hope to encourage the habit of buying content. The scheme will last 2 years and be open to those aged 12 to 25. And you'll be able to apply for one Carte Musique per year.
Wow, government subsidized music purchases.
I guess old people should just pirate.
Yes, pirate if you're old. I know.
Steve Jobs has donated iPods to the Chilean miners. Reuters reports.
Reuters.
They've received the latest iPod, but no mention as to what model. Now I'm thinking there's a ton of inappropriate jokes as to maybe these are the thinnest and smallest, most extractable iPods ever.
You're a bad man.
Is it too soon? It's been like 2 years.
Jeez, lay off. Boo. Boo this man.
Android is getting Opera Mobile. Now, don't confuse this with Opera Mini. Opera Mobile will be a pinch-to-zoom hardware-accelerated browser when it is officially released. If you get the beta, take note that it won't have hardware acceleration.
Oh, well. Researchers at a German university have developed diminished reality software. You heard that right. It can delete an object from live full-motion video. The software first reduces the resolution of the object, removes the image, and improves the result, similar to using a smudge tool in Photoshop, right. Then incrementally increases the resolution, improving the result until the original resolution is restored, but without the removed object. If only Stalin were alive to appreciate this.
It's kind of like beer goggles.
I guess
everything
so.
A little bit.
Just smoothed out a little. Just smoothed out.
Finally, car-eating rabbits have invaded the Denver airport.
They've got big fangs.
Yeah.
They've got big fangs.
Pointy teeth.
Run away.
Travelers parking their cars at Denver International are falling victim to the rabbits who seem to love the soy-based wiring compound built into cars that had come after 2002. Airport denies that the rabbits were the cause of the damage, but local mechanics say, we've seen this before, and there's a bunch of rabbits out there by the airport.
And we saw it before from this airport. We found rabbits in cars. They haven't placed the rabbits as being from the airport yet. Even though the airport has a nice little fence around their parking area, there are plenty of bunnies hopping around.
Yeah, well, I have to say, if you make soy-based wiring, you got to expect that maybe this will happen.
This is clearly foreseeable. And there's going to be a class action lawsuit before you know it.
Definitely that's better right. than the carrot-based wiring.
Definitely. And if you've ever seen the YouTube videos where the rabbit jumps in the tree to go after the snake, you know, we know these rabbits can climb.
And
they can,
drive.
They can get in trees. I actually had not a rabbit, but a rat eat the wiring harness of a car.
So you've experienced a mammal eating your car.
Yeah, it was a pain. It was expensive. It was, really annoying. So, not a rabbit, though, but a rat.
Are we officially advocating beating rabbits to death today?
No one said anything about beating rabbits to death.
Okay.
But, you know, checking. A brace of conies cooked just right. On to the calendar, iPad is coming to AT&T. Well, yeah, but AT&T stores, so you can buy it. You can buy it at Best Buy now and Target, and it's coming to AT&T stores. But more interestingly, it's coming to Verizon stores October 28th. But you can't get an iPad 3G on Verizon. So what they're going to do is they will sell it bundled with a Verizon MiFi if you want, or you can just buy it without.
But it doesn't come with a snazzy case or anything like the Sprint Overdrive.
No, it doesn't. But it is a Verizon store selling an iPad.
And they have a cheaper plan.
Is this some signal that they're going to be, getting together?
No.
No? This is just like.
I think this is way more than passing notes. This is like holding hands.
Yeah. Verizon got the first base. Halo Reach is getting 3 new maps in November. $10 price tag for that if you want to download it. Of course, Halo, hugely popular. Anybody play Halo on this show? Because I don't.
No. Nope. I played 2 hours worth of
you
Halo
are
Reach.
The news today,
Thursday. I trump
Thursday
you all with
champion.
My vast knowledge of Halo show Reach. AKA
are you
two
excited,
hours.
Jason?
Sure.
Wow.
If I end up going to my friend's house and playing, sure. Great.
Finally, Google's latest quarterly results have been released. They beat market expectations, posting a 32% rise in profits. Like, they need more money. The internet giant made a profit of $2.17 billion in the 3 months from September 30th, or up to September 30th. That's up from $1.6 billion. It's about time they got above $2 billion.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
A little company that could.
How else are they going to afford all those delicious breakfasts? I had this morning.
And self-steering cars.
I was at Google this morning. I gave a talk. Full disclosure, I did eat some eggs.
Oh, you're biased now.
I've heard, were they the best eggs you've ever had?
They were okay. They were hot.
Were they instant?
Decent. Yeah,
were
no, eggs. No, they were real eggs. They were,
real
yeah,
eggs.
Yeah. They were the best eggs, but they weren't bad. They were decent eggs. I'll give them that. It's part of the reason. And they have these bicycles on their campus.
Oh, the bikes are great.
They're Google-colored, so it means they're multicolored.
Yeah, they're like the
they're
bikes in Amsterdam. Yeah,
it's
just
like a little mini Amsterdam.
City bikes.
I felt like I was in a Douglas Coupland novel. It's like, this is weird. On to the emails to TNT@twit.tv. Taryn Neal says, I remember everybody making a big deal out of Diaspora when it was announced, but I could never figure out how to actually join the network. After a little digging, I found that if you want to actually create a profile on Diaspora, you have to go to pivots.joindiaspora.com. That's P-I-V-O-T-S. Pivots.joindiaspora.com. There aren't any links on the main joindiaspora.com site, so you have to go directly to it. Just thought some people might be interested in checking it out. Diaspora is still in very early days. That's why they're not making it easy to find, but I thought that was a cool little tip to share. Thanks, Taryn.
Yeah, I think it is a good tip. It obviously is a hard to find. Join if you want to, and you can find the way in.
Now you know. The more you know.
Yeah. Hey there, TNT. Found this from a friend on Facebook. For 24 hours from 5 a.m. this morning, Thursday the 14th of October, Greater Manchester Police will be publishing details of every incident that it deals with on Twitter to allow the public to see what officers at one of the largest UK forces face on a daily basis. Thought this was a really interesting event. It is streamed live on their homepage as well as the constant updates on Twitter. Twitter.com/GMP24_2. It's insane, but a really sweet idea. Would love to hear your views. Love the show, etc. Mark Whiteside, Glasgow.
That's pretty cool. I like this idea of it's better than the police scanner, right?
Right.
But I wonder, is it going to be more like the police blotter? Or are we going to have blow by blow type of stuff?
Don't forget hashtag arrested.
Hashtag arrested. 7 hours ago, call 1578. Two vehicle collision with injuries in Staley Bridge.
I like it. People breaking into a property. Police on scene. Lawful occupier.
It seems like it's mostly the calls.
Yeah.
Call 1592. People breaking into a property. Wow, they have a lot of... It makes it, you know, this is what they don't want, because it makes it look like there's a huge amount of crime.
It really
but I
does.
Think the point is to show, like, this is what we deal with. This is what the police are doing. So mm-hmm. if you complain about the police not doing things or doing things, it's good to have this kind of data. I mean, 7 hours ago, there were a ton of calls all within an hour of each other.
Yeah, I wonder if they simply have some kind of a voice-to-text or some kind of voice-to-text thing for the scanner or for the calls that come in. I'm just
wondering
how they work that out.
Call 1566, report of burglary in progress. Owner had lost key in Bowdoin. Which I think that means was not a burglary, just a guy trying to break into his own house.
It's my house. I lost my key.
And credit card deception in Salford? They catch somebody calls that in? I've got somebody
I've been deceived.
Trying to deceive me with their credit card. Harassment by text messages in Oldham. Wow, this is
wow.
Harassment
specific.
By text messages.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I could read that all day.
All right, but we can't. We have to go so Dr. Kiki can get in here and do her show next.
That's right. It's almost time for the Science Hour.
If you're listening to this on the podcast version, go check out Dr. Kiki's Science Hour. You can just subscribe to it at twit.tv.
/Kiki.
Kiki. There you go.
Kiki.
Thanks, everybody, for watching. Ayaz, thanks again for filling in for Becky today.
No problem. And you can find me at thisoldnerd.com, where I show you how to basically put tech everywhere in your life and home.
Excellent. Nice. Check it out, thisoldnerd.com. Check us out, twit.tv/TNT, and give us a call, 260-TNT-SHOW, or send us an email, tnt@twit.tv. We'll be live from Blog World tomorrow in Las Vegas with Leo and Sarah. Talk to you then.